Well, Shabbat Shalom. And what a blessing it is to see you here today and to be with you. I would just like to share with you that our dedication service had a profound impact on those who were here from the Church of the Way. So much so that they want us to remain and will do anything so that we stay with them. When was the last time that you read Psalm 68? I draw your attention specifically to verse 19, which reads, "After you went up into the heights, you led captivity captive. You took gifts among mankind, yes, even among the rebels, so that Yah God might live there." Don't you just love people who are eager to listen to his word? Notice the understanding shared in this verse of Adonai Elohim Tzevaot, giving all of mankind, the righteous and the unrighteous alike, gifts overflowing. By doing this, he established his name throughout the human race for all time. Had he not given blessings for all, Adonai might have been known as a grasping, empty-handed God, one who takes but does not give. Adonai, Abba Father, merciful and beneficent Abba, we, your children, look to you for the many blessings you bestow upon us. Through your love and your mercies, your many gifts to us, help us remember you are the source of all that we are and all that we have. Amen. Help us today, I pray, to recognize the gifting you have provided us, and help us to remain humble in the abundance of your provisions. In your precious name we all pray.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Robert Cleaver Chapman, who lived in the early 19th to the early 20th century, dying at the age of 99 in 1902, he was known as the Apostle of Love by his brothers and sisters within the Plymouth Brethren. He was a well-known pastor, teacher, and evangelist. Charles Spurgeon called Chapman the saintliest man I ever knew. One morning, Chapman was asked how he was feeling. "I'm burdened this morning," was his reply, but the happy expression on his face contradicted his words. So the questioner exclaimed in surprise, "Are you really burdened, Mr. Chapman?" "Yes," was his reply. "But it's a wonderful burden. It's an overabundance of blessings from which I cannot find time or words to express my gratitude." Seeing the puzzled look on the face of his friend, Chapman added with an even broader smile, "I am referring to Psalm 68:19, which fully describes my condition. In that verse, the Father in heaven reminds us that he daily loads us with benefits." What a wonderful attitude towards the abundant blessings with which our Abba B'Shamayim, our Father in heaven, daily loads us.
Amen.
As I read of R.C. Chapman and his works in both Europe and in America, I was drawn to the blessings Yaakov gave to his sons as he lay on his deathbed. Each of the blessings he provided had a message for the son upon whom the blessing was laid, and has a prophetic meaning and a teaching for us today. Thus, the focus of today's message then is the first part of our examination of the blessings Yaakov laid on his sons and what they mean to us today. Reuven, You are my firstborn, my strength, the first fruits of my manhood. Yaakov recognized Reuben as the firstborn son, who had many strong characteristics and should have been either a priest or a king. However, this firstborn son of Yaakov was as unstable as water. You climbed into your father's bed and defiled it, meaning he had slept with one of his father's concubines. As a result of his impulsive, rash decisions, Reuben disqualified himself from leadership. How that rings true for us today. There are many leaders, both past and present, whose rash and impulsive decisions and choices have disqualified them from true leadership, even though they have clung to power. Perhaps these names resonate with you. Omar Gaddafi, former president of Libya, whose harsh dictatorship and support of terrorism around the world cost him his rule and his life. Hosni Mubarak, former president of Egypt, indicted for murder and treason by the Egyptian court, now lies gravely ill in an Egyptian hospital. Bashar al-Assad, current president of Syria, recently indicted by the World Court of The Hague for war crimes and crimes against humanity. More locally, we have President Bill Clinton, whose sexual trysts with his workers Paula Corbin Jones and Monica Lewinsky brought about the end of his power. Canadian Senators Patrick Brazeau, Mike Duffy, and Pamela Wallin, whose sense of entitlement launched the Senate expenses scandal currently gripping Parliament and the attention of the media and Canadians. Well, some of them, anyway. And Rob Ford. Does more need to be said? What does Yaakov's blessing to Reuben say to us today? Well, look around Winnipeg, and you will see men and women in power who have demonstrated through their behaviors, their decisions, and their choices, their sense of entitlement and their arrogance, seemingly believing themselves to be above the law. These leaders seem to have lost their moral compasses. And even though they remain in power for now, their future is not so clear. And what messages are they sending to their constituents? It's okay to do these things, such as buying land for the city without city approval and possibly receiving kickbacks as part of the deal. It's all right to violate the law when you are the one making the laws. No wonder so many citizens of Winnipeg and Manitoba have a growing cynicism of our country's politicians and decision makers. And what of us in the face of these examples? Beloved, we are different. We operate through Adonai Yeshua's moral and ethical compass, Torah. Witnessing others doing things we find reprehensible does not give us license to do them also. The playground ethic, if he can do it, so can I, does not come into play for authentic believers. The blessing given to Shimon and Levi was also a double-edged sword. On the one hand, Yaakov lauded them for they understood the meaning of brotherhood. Notice how subtle Yaakov's words are. Shimon and Levi are brothers. However, their lives were tainted by violence. As Yaakov shared with them, they were related by weapons of violence. Let me not enter their council. Let my honor not be connected with their people, for in their anger they killed men, and at their whim they maimed cattle. Cursed be their anger, for it has been fierce, their fury, for it has been cruel. These were men who had quick and hot tempers, with short fuses and angers prone to violence. As you may recall, it was Shimon and Levi who led the slaughter of the men of the city of Shechem and took their women and children for slaves after their sister Dinah was raped by Shechem, the son of the city's rulers. Clearly, Yaakov felt their anger was disproportionate to the crime. He is obviously ashamed of the actions of his sons and therefore cursed their anger as fierce and cruel. The comment related by weapons of violence is a reference to Shimon and Levi stealing the sword of Esau, meaning they have appropriated the violence of Israel's enemies and have brought disgrace upon Yaakov, upon Yisrael. Notice Yaakov cursed his son's anger and not his sons themselves. Yaakov loved his sons, even though their behavior was reprehensible. What does it mean? I will divide them in Yaakov and scatter them in Yisrael. Yaakov recognized the brothers fed off each other, and thus he made sure they would not be situated close to each other, which would have encouraged their short and burning tempers. In fulfillment of this prophecy, as we read in Numbers 25, many thousands of the men of Shimon were slain for allowing themselves to be seduced by the women of Moab and for turning from Adonai to the Moab god, Baal Peor. As a result, their widows married into other tribes, thus ensuring the scattering of Shimon throughout Israel. And from Yaakov's prophetic blessing arises the Levitical priesthood. Levi was not given any portion of land and had to live off the tithes and offerings of the people. Thus, the tribe of Levi was accountable not only to God, but also to Yisrael for his behavior. In latter years, the tribe of Shimon became the school teachers of Yisrael, itinerant and living off the generosity of those he taught. Clearly, Yaakov's blessing upon Shimon and Levi had ramifications for many, many years. As believers in the Most High Elohim, we are to be very aware of how we interact with others. As I mentioned two Shabbats ago, we are being watched by other believers and non-believers alike. If our tempers are short and we fly off the handle easily, what does this say about Torah being written on our hearts? If we take offense easily and overreact to slights which were never meant, what does this say about our being the temple for the Holy Spirit? Dear ones, we have an obligation to approach all interactions with a sense of calm, moderation, and above all, love. Not assuming the worst, but questioning and investigating motivation, intention, before we react. This is what shows to the unbeliever and the unbelieving world our authentic belief. Yehuda, your brothers will acknowledge you. Your hand will be on the neck of your enemies. Your father's sons will bow down before you. Notice Judah is seen by Yaakov as the leader of the tribes of Israel. But you ask, didn't Judah abuse his position in the family by siring Tamar's children? Wouldn't this have disqualified him from leadership? Certainly Yaakov knew of Judah's behavior, and he acknowledged Judah's ownership of his behavior. He did not try to hide what he had done, but he accepted it. This, to Yaakov, was a mark of leadership. And indeed it is. It is not the fact we sin that damns us. It is not the fact of sin that damns us. It is our lack of accepting our ownership for those sins and our refusal to repent of them that damns us. Judah displayed his humility, an essential part of leadership. Your father's sons will bow down before you. The scepter will not pass from Yehuda, nor the ruler's staff from between his legs, until he comes to whom obedience belongs, and it is he whom the peoples will obey. Judah is recognized by his brothers as being their leader, in effect, their king. It was from Judah King David emerged as the greatest king Israel has ever seen. It was from Judah our Messiah was born, a king far superior to David, who will shortly reign over the earth from Jerusalem.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Zebulun was destined to become a tribe of marine traders. He traded as far as Tyre in what is now known as Lebanon and taught the known world about Hebrew integrity and honesty. Zebulun will live at the seashore with ships anchoring along his coast and his border at Sidon. It does appear Zebulun did follow Adonai's instructions to share Torah with the non-believing world. Yaakov's next blessing is to his son, Issachar. Issachar is a strong donkey lying down in the sheep fields. On seeing how good is settled life and how pleasant the country, he will bend his back to the burden and submit to forced labor. There are some uncertainties which emerge from this blessing. For example, the phrase Issachar is a strong donkey lying down in the sheep sheds may have two meanings. The first is tied to the strength of the beast of burden and its need to rest, since the load it carries is great. The second meaning relates to the renowned stubbornness of the donkey and its refusal to carry loads on occasion. Somewhat like some of us are too. And then we have the phrase, he will bend his back to the burden and submit to forced labor. Rabbinic commentators share with us a possible meaning. Issachar, the rabbis claim, accepted the burden of Torah study and spent most of the day with that focus, being supported by his younger brother, Zebulun. These commentators refer to the phrase, on seeing how good is settled life and how pleasant the country, to show how Yaakov also prophesied Issachar's lands would be blessed by Adonai, and indeed it appears they were. For when Zebulun traded their fruits with Sion, the foreigners marveled at their size and were told this was Adonai's blessings for Issachar's devotion to Torah. As such, the legends say, many of the heathens converted to Judaism. What may we glean from the blessings of Zebulun and Issachar? Here were two brothers who worked together for Adonai and for each other. Issachar studied Torah, becoming well-read in Adonai's word, being supported by the efforts of his younger brother, Zebulun. There was no rivalry here. Each knew and accepted his role with gratitude, and for this, Each was rewarded in a unique way. In a similar vein, when we work side by side with our brothers and sisters with an attitude of gratitude and with neither jealousy nor envy, we too will be blessed in unique ways. But this is not the way of the world, however, which plays very dangerous games of one-upmanship, backstabbing, and toe-treading in order to reach the top before anyone else does. These bring curses rather than blessings, as we see all too often in our daily news. Beloved, once again, we are not like that. We engage in collaborative activity in which we work together towards a common goal, each with a specific and unique task, without any feelings of superiority or merit. We are, in a very real way, the body Rav Shaul spoke of in 1 Corinthians 12. Listen to what Rav Shaul says about collaboration within the body. God has put the body together in such a way that he gives greater dignity to the parts that lack it, so that there will be no disagreements within the body, but rather all the parts will be equally concerned for all the others. If there is a stronger plea for working as one body toward a common goal, I have yet to read it. To this point, we have examined the blessings Yaakov gave to his six sons. Reuben, who should have received the double heritage of being ruler and priest, but because he betrayed his father, lost that honor. Shimon, due to his impulsive, violent nature, was scattered throughout Israel and only received a small portion of Judah's territory rather than his own ancestral land. Levi also did not receive land of his own, but was forced to live off the tithes and offerings of others due to his impulsive, violent nature. I find a delicious irony here. Levi, the one whom I envisioned led the charge into Shechem, has become the tribe of priests, those responsible for the spiritual well-being of Israel and maintaining the holy temple of Adonai Elohim Tzevaot. Kind of brings a smile to your face, doesn't it? Judah, whose temperate, cautious voice may be heard throughout Tanakh, receiving the double portion removed from his older brother, Reuben. He also was the progenitor of King David and the line leading to Adonai Yeshua. Zebulun was the next blessed, even though Issachar was older. Why? Zebulun was the one who voluntarily supported his brother in the study of Adonai's word, and who took a witness to foreign lands in following Adonai's command to be a light to the world, as we read in Isaiah 42. I, Adonai, called you righteously. I took hold of you by the hand. I shaped you and made you a covenant for the people to be a light for the goyim, so that you can open blind eyes, free the prisoners from confinement, those living in darkness from the dungeon. We know these words, these verses have been used to proclaim the first coming of Adonai Yeshua, as we read in Luke 4. However, they were also designated for my people. So much of proclaiming scripture has double meaning. Issachar's blessing was aimed to support his devotion to the study of Adonai's word. Unfortunately, the tribe of Issachar disappeared during the Assyrian exile and has as yet not resurfaced. Next Shabbat, we will examine the remaining blessings given to the children of Yaakov and how they may speak to us today. But for now, beloved, While most of us here today may not be able to lay claim to membership in a particular tribe of Israel, we are all bound together as members of the body of Messiah, which to me is of greater value. With this membership comes the reality of the promise of salvation and life eternal with our God. And with this membership also comes the responsibility of walking in His way, walking in the way of Torah. Herein lay the blessings received from Adonai Elohim Tzevaot: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, humility, and self-control. Do you have this fruit within your heart? Are you seeking the blessings which come from walking in the way of the Spirit, in the way of Torah? Beloved, if you are having difficulty emptying your hearts of the pain of broken relationships or loss of whatever has been precious to you, please do not wait any longer. Fall to your knees and ask Adonai Tzevaot to remove this pain from you, replacing it with His truth. And remember that there are people within the Kehillah who are always available for a conversation with you. Abba, our beloved Father, many of us here today are carrying pain, guilt, worry, and sorrow, some for a long time. I pray you look into the darkest corners of our hearts and cleanse them of the dark matter that hides therein. Make our hearts clean and as white as snow, as you have done with our souls. Hear our prayers to you for cleansing. In your precious name we all pray. Amen.
Amen.